Hey, this is The Startup Chat. My name is Steli Efti.
This is Heaton Shah.
And today we're going to talk about what it takes to be truly yourself and what the value of being yourself is.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
And why do we want to talk about that?
Yeah. So what inspired us today was we were just talking about our friend, Patrick McKenzie. So there's a whole episode on him that's going to come. That's before this. So, you know, you should go listen to that. Please stop. Listen to that. It's really good. We really enjoyed it. And what inspired us was at the end, Steli's tip was about being yourself. And I thought that, you know, that'd be a great episode that we should do. So we're rolling right into that right now. And so I think I'll say my piece about it, but when someone's truly themselves, you can essentially see it. You can feel it in their writing and their actions and their words. They're very consistent, right? Whatever that looks like, right? Yeah. And I'll just throw out my example. I've thrown it out before on some podcasts, but you know where I'm going. But somebody who I respect a lot, so before I say this, is Jason Calacanis, just because he's himself. And if you look at it, he's very New York. Probably a better way than I said it last time. So, and I grew up in New York from when I was about, I think it was, 5 years old to about 12. And so probably partially a New Yorker myself, but he is truly himself. Everything he does, he's got that abrasive, brash attitude about it, but he's also tries to be super helpful and also at the same time is very informative and shares a lot of awesome thoughts. So every time he sends his newsletter and he's talking about like, I keep remembering Yahoo, but Yahoo or Apple or whatever, it's always really unique, really great thoughts, but it's always with that voice, you know, that's Jason Calacanis, right?
Yeah. The reason why Patrick McKenzie inspired the being yourself tip is because, you know, he has been successful in a number of ways, but none of them you would, if you thought you want to be successful in these things, you would not think of being or acting or looking like Patrick McKenzie, right? From being a very successful consultant who charges 50K a week over being a super successful software entrepreneur, investor, a public speaker.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit any of the, if you close your eyes, you imagine somebody who's successful as one of these things.
You never think of him.
You've never think of him if you met him and didn't have the context, but he excels in all these things. Because I think for one of the big reasons is that he is truly himself.
Yep.
And I think that most people are not. I think that's one of the biggest struggles that people have. And it might come out even stronger in the kind of entrepreneurial community.
Yeah.
Because we have such strong role models, such great and grand ambitions and goals.
Yeah.
And when we think of who we want to be, it seems like who we are might not fit or might not be enough. So we're trying to be more like somebody else.
Yeah, but you have to be yourself.
Yes.
Being like somebody else doesn't really work.
Well, that it never works, right? It never works. Even if it seemed to be working on the outside, I can't imagine somebody not being themselves and being happy, right? Being truly fulfilled or truly getting to all that they can be. But the reason I think why people still attempt it is because we all have this idea that what we are and who we are is not enough. I think that's kind of a very core human psychological issue is that.
Is it because we want more? Is that how you're thinking about it?
What do you mean by not enough? I think we all have insecurities, fears of not being worthy of love, not being enough. We all want to be loved. We all want to know that we are good in essence.
Sure.
Right? Worthwhile. And I think our biggest insecurities and fears all go back to that one place of like fearing that we're not enough, not worth being loved.
So the word that comes to mind for me is ego then.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think of, right? When I think like your ego is getting in the way. And I know most people might not think of it like that, but if you're thinking about it, you know, and here's what I mean. So one of the most common ways, and this happened last night at a dinner with a friend of mine, and I called him on it, he started getting into this mood of like making these assumptions about what people think of him right now.
Mm.
Just people. He wasn't even saying specific people. He was just saying, oh, I'm this or I'm that because I'm here and this is my job or this is what I'm doing or whatever. I'm like, wait, hold on. That's just what you think they think, but they don't think that. And in fact, nobody gives a shit about you. They're not thinking about you. They're doing what you're doing, hopefully a better way, which is thinking about themselves.
Yes.
Right. And, yes. And this is where I characteristically see it, right? He's actually trying to project. He's actually trying to imply that he understands how people perceive him. Mm. And, to me, that's ego. It's like your ego is trying to explain, is trying to rectify, like, how do people feel about me? What can I, you know, all these things that, like, you oftentimes have a very hard time understanding how other people actually feel about you unless you just ask them. So for this question of, like, how do you be yourself? I think I'm going to throw out one idea that I've used and one example. One of my friends, he's very thoughtful. He used to work with me at a couple of my companies, and he's very thoughtful, observant, and he was just slow to acting. And I was trying to understand, what is it? What is he doing, right? And then I asked him, like, is there just something you did when you were a kid, like when you were playing or something? And he's like, yeah, my mother would tell me that I would not go into the sandbox and I would not go into the playground. I would look, stay at the edge, understand it, and then I would go play. Mm. And I would never just jump right in. I'm like, oh, okay. So I need to spend a lot of time helping you understand what you're about to get into, and then you're good. Yeah, he's like, yeah. So like, I think, you know, if you want to hack on this, what, or a thing to try is, like, ask your parents about your behavior when you were a child, and that can help you understand yourself a lot better. And it's very powerful. Or ask someone that was around you a lot when you were a child, even if it's not a parent.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful hack. Another hack that I would offer, a tip or idea, is ask yourself, like, who are the people that you idolize, or who are the people that you think of immediately when you think of the thing you want to be? Yeah. So if you're like, I want to be, you know, an entrepreneur that, you know, puts a ding in the universe or that changes the world, who are the people you think of?
Yeah.
And then ask yourself, you know, we can all admire people that we're nothing like, but are these people anything like you in terms of their personality, in terms of their background? And if none of them are, you know, maybe.
But what does like me mean? Can you go deeper? Because I don't think, I think one challenge I've seen is people don't even know who they are. So if you go say, I want to be like Bill Gates, it might be very hard to understand who you are.
Right.
In reference to Bill Gates. So another approach maybe to start with could be, what do you admire about Bill Gates?
Right.
Is it his money? Is it his success? Is it the fact that Windows is everywhere, unfortunately? Is it, what is it? Right.
Okay. So, so let's keep on that. So, think of somebody you admire in an area that you aspire to have success, and then ask yourself, what about that person do you admire? But then I would also add the question, why do you admire that thing?
Okay.
Is it because it's something that's hard to you? Or is it because it's something that comes easy to you?
Okay.
Right. Because.
So for each thing, pick out, is it something that's easy for you or something that comes hard to you?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's many people I admire for things that I struggle with.
Yes.
So I want to be inspired by these people, but I can't be like them. Right. I might want to be like them.
I'm not like them yet. Is that a better way?
Maybe.
Or I'm not great at that yet.
Yeah. So. All right. So let's talk about that. So let's say I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say I'm very introverted, because that's a kind of a simple way of explaining this. I'm super introverted. I don't necessarily feel comfortable communicating with others, interacting with others socially. And then I look at somebody that is extremely extroverted. Okay. Right? And they have a lot of success in their area that I like. I don't know if Steve Jobs is a good example. Was he that extroverted? No. Probably, maybe not. He was a great communicator, but who's like somebody that's super successful and super extroverted? I don't know. With everybody that comes to mind, I have some doubts if that tag really fits.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Just pick any person you admire for being out there or outgoing.
For being very
outgoing. That's an example. Of like finding extroverts, outgoing, always wanting to do stuff, party planners, stuff like that.
I'm thinking like the three names that came to mind at some point in this discussion like Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe he's extroverted, maybe not. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. He definitely has a good ego. Yeah. I was thinking of the Richard Branson. He's definitely not extroverted, but he's very adventurous and definitely out there. And I thought of like, Tony Robbins is like...
I thought of Tony Robbins. That's a good one.
Let's take Tony Robbins. Let's take him. Let's say he's a super outgoing guy, right? Super social.
Seems like it.
Yeah. So So I'm extremely introverted. So I'm very inspired by Tony Robbins being very extroverted. Yeah. Let's say I want to, you know, I want to be a successful personality like him.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful to be inspired by him.
Yeah.
But at what point, so I can, so you said not yet.
Yeah.
Right. So at, so I can be more extroverted, but I do think there are limitations to at least how I'm going to be extroverted moving down the line. Like, and maybe extroverted introverted is not a good.
No, I think phrase, if we go back to Patrick, I think what you're trying to say is like, sure, Patrick is not a salesperson, like the typical salesperson, but yet he sells his way.
Yes.
So what I would say is like, you like that quality about Tony Robbins, but you're not necessarily going to do it the way Tony Robbins did, right? That's what you're trying to get. So it's about almost removing these things you believe are the reason the person is that way and focusing on the fact that the person's that way and you would like to be better at that.
Yes.
That's what I meant by like, you're not there yet.
Yes.
Right. If you really value it in somebody else, it's not just the, it's not the way the person did it that you value. It's probably the fact that they're there.
Yes.
And you want to get there too. Right. So Patrick could have just said to himself, I want to get better at sales. That doesn't mean I'm going to do sales like Stelly.
Right.
Right. That just means I'm going to figure out how to do sales for myself in the way that I should do it. That makes me feel good doing it.
Yeah. I like
and
that.
Making him feel good is not doing sales. Instead, using, in one example, your name, right, to make the sale happen because he said, you know, if Stelly were here, he'd ask you this.
Yeah.
Right.
So I like that. I don't want to go too meta, but that's where the discussion is going because let's go even one step deeper.
Yeah.
I don't think most people are choosing the right things as goals to aspire to in terms of what they want to be in life, right? And maybe this is a very like stark example because I'm living in, we're living in the Bay Area. And
we're in a bubble here.
We're in a bubble here of people that a lot of people that want to be a very certain way and accomplish a very certain thing.
Yeah.
But I find that most people that want to be entrepreneurs, many of them, I have doubts if that's really who they are and what they should be aspiring to. And I think that the entrepreneurial community, the startup community is also kind of douchey in the way that we think we're better than others in that sense that, oh yeah, you know, I was doing this shitty job 9 to 5 at this big corporation. And then I realized the only freedom is being an entrepreneur. And then they come here and they raise a ton of money and they have a board and they have all these pressures and they create this monster they never liked. And then it fails. And it's like, you just switched from one, like from one, construct of working for somebody else to another. You just don't realize it.
Well, that's just people mostly buying into the glamour.
Yeah.
Right. There's no glamour to it. It's worse than having a job.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff taken care of for you if you have a job.
I want to be an entrepreneur because I don't want to have a boss. When you're an entrepreneur, everyone is your boss. Like when you're the owner of the business, your employees, your customers, everybody, right? It's you know, yes, but I'm
wondering. You want to make your own decisions. That's really what you're doing it for, and you better be ready for what that comes with.
Yes, it comes with a lot of responsibility, baggage. It comes with pressure and stress that you don't have when you don't have to make all the decisions, right? But yeah, I think that a lot of times I see people that aspire to something that I'm not sure if that's really what they want, if that's truly who they are. Like, do you want that because you feel like that's the right thing or because you feel like that's what other people would admire or because you feel like
that's what the environment you're in?
It is into, or do you want that because it's truly and authentically who you like fits to who you are?
So I actually personally struggle with something on this, right? First couple of my companies are self-funded. Third one was funded. Current ones are not funded. I'm in an environment all around me where I'm talking to people who are funded every day, pretty much all day if I'm not talking to people on my team.
Yeah.
And the pressure is all there and I don't know what I identify with right now.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting question. So that's why I bring up environment, because a lot of times your environment and what you see and who you hang out with and all that stuff can influence like you moving in one direction or another.
I think so. And
also, but is that right for you or not? Like,
I think that just like it's tough for some people to, you know, go against what their family and their friends would do and leave their great job to be an entrepreneur. I think for some entrepreneurs, it's hard to let go of being an entrepreneur, go back to find a great job.
That's right.
Even if that's the right thing for them, because right. it feels like they're going back in their career. Yeah. It feels like they accepted failure. It feels like it's hard for somebody to go, I'm the CEO of something, to I'm now working for somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
If you know your identity and yourself, you don't have these problems.
Yeah.
Like, I mean it. Like, yeah. I know people that know themselves. Yeah. They have struggles for sure. I'm not saying life's easy, but yeah. life's probably harder. But like, they can get into any situation and be themselves. And that's really what the crux of it is, right? Like, people I admire that know themselves, I see them. And it's very much like Patrick. I love that pattern. I think that's what we're honing in on. But it's like, in any situation, he'll do it his way, but he'll get it done and he'll do a damn good fucking job. Like, that's amazing, right? That's like owning yourself, right? Yeah. Having control over who you are as a person, and you're willing to put it out there and do it your way.
How do you do that? Like, so how does one know themselves? Let's explore that question. How do you know who you truly are?
I think he's having fun the whole time.
I don't think so. By the way, you know what the funniest thing is?
Yeah.
I think it's so funny when you talk about somebody else.
Yeah.
Just like if we had two other people talk about you or me.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be wild.
Where you're like, that's not really how I feel about my reality.
That's why we want to hear from Patrick.
Yes, but
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're not having fun doing it, whatever it is, I don't think you should be doing it. And what I mean by that is, by him having fun, is by being yourself, you're essentially having fun in every situation. That's one of the things that works, at least for me. I don't know if that's what he's doing, but I've never seen him angry. I've never seen him super sad, even when maybe he should be, right? And or other people would be. And so to me, it's like, if someone's embodying themselves and doing it their way, they're essentially having fun. But what I mean by that is, like, why don't you think of the interaction as entertainment? And you being the entertainer, right? And if you're the entertainer, then you're going to do it your way and try to entertain the other people, right? So I think that is that's something I see and I find very fascinating. And I think that is a representation of someone in a lot of ways knowing themselves.
So I agree with you. I don't like the tag of, like, having fun and being happy all the time, because that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. What's a better way to say that? I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. I would replace it with maybe feeling at peace or feeling fulfilled.
I like that.
Like, you have struggles, you have challenges, you have good and bad days, but you don't have, like, this inner, you don't feel inner conflict at all times. You don't feel maybe internal resistance.
It doesn't constantly impact your behavior.
Yes, maybe.
Like, external behavior. Like, behavior is like external, right? Someone has to observe it. So, like, is that what you mean? Or
I don't know. I think there's a difference between being really challenged and having a tough time and suffering. I think there's a difference between not knowing what to do and being, like, eaten up by doubt.
Okay.
And I think that people that are living a fully authentic life, they have challenges, good and bad days, but they don't suffer maybe as much.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and they're not constantly in this internal conflict. I think when you are not yourself, you live at, like, eternal internal conflict. You're constantly in conflict with yourself.
Worrying about what other people think about you is one key way to cause that. So I get it. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that carrying that internal conflict of, like, not acting, not saying, and not doing what you truly want to, and editing yourself at all times in real time to catch up with an image that you think you need to catch up with, I think that creates an internal stress that you don't have when you're authentic. But you still will have good and bad days and challenges. It's just you don't have this internal stress, suffering. You're more at peace with yourself, maybe.
I really like that, because I'm trying to think through, like, I'm trying to think through my conversations with people, because oftentimes, like, I can identify that. And one of the key things that I would think about when identifying that is just, like, it's pretty easy to tell if someone's just not feeling right.
Mm.
Right. And it even extends to not feeling like themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that statement, you know, you've heard that before, right? Yeah. Like, so I think one thing I hear people say a lot is, like, you know, as if they're taking advice from someone they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, saying it like that. Like, oh, you know, when Bill Gates started Microsoft, he did it like this. So, yeah, we're going to take that strategy and do it like that. And it's okay if I hear that once or twice. Okay, fine. But if I hear that, like, 5, 7, 10 times, I'm like, oh, no, you're not being yourself. You're just jacking stuff from other people because you don't know what you should be doing. Right.
Yep. So, yep. I love that. I think this also refers back with an episode where we talked about attachment versus dedication.
Yeah.
And I feel like when people are overly attached to ideas, their companies, what they're doing,
or a role model,
or a role model, it does point to them not being themselves.
Yeah.
Because when you're completely at peace with yourself and you know who you are, you might be totally dedicated to something. But if that something doesn't pan out, it doesn't
destroy you.
It doesn't destroy you because you still are yourself. But I think people that are more attached to things, being very attached to certain ideas or things you do or a job or a title, something, also points to you not being fully at peace with yourself because you attach yourself to that thing and that now is part of your, imagined identity. So you are at panic of losing it because it would mean you lose who you are, right? Yeah. Which somebody who knows who they are could never be. They could never, the company goes down. I lose that money. Yeah. My title is gone. Yeah. That does not mean anything because I know who I am. I'm the exact same person as I was yesterday.
Yeah, and right? I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. So I think that is also like whenever you feel that panic of attachment to anything or anybody, it that can be also a good indicator that maybe you're not fully like connected with who you really are and you make that thing part of your identity, which is probably a bad idea.
Yep. Tips.
So, okay. So we've talked a lot about how to be who you truly are. I think it's something that I see this as a lifelong struggle, a lifelong journey. I think that when I look back at my life, I knew who I was growing up, and then I've, unlearned it in many, many different ways. And it's been kind of
you evolve.
You evolve and you keep exploring that question, I think, further and further, who am I truly?
Yeah.
Right? And how can I live a life that's more authentic to who I truly am more and more every single day. I think that it's a good question to ask yourself in one way or another every single day. I think my number one tip to live a more authentic life goes back to something that you do really successfully and a tactic you use, which is surround yourself with people that are at peace with who they truly are, right?
That's helpful.
Right? So, I do.